Hello, welcome to Killer Crawlspace. This is episode 7. Like I said in the last episode, this is going to be Evan Hartley. You know, it's one of the, well, I guess you could say teenagers that, you know, Ed Gein was possibly linked to. You know, he said he didn't do it. But this is her disappearance. We'll start off with, you know, Evan Hartley was born in November 21st, 1937, and she disappeared October 24th, 1953, at the age of 15. And I'm assuming I'm pronouncing this right, La Crosse, Wisconsin. But she was babysitting a baby. See, most of the town residents, from my understanding, was at a ball game. And she wasn't the original babysitter of that family, but the regular babysitter went to the game as well. So Evelyn ended up being the replacement. They said she had brought some school books with her to study. And basically, when she was babysitting or whatever she'd done, if she wasn't home, she would call her parents about 8:30 to check in. Well, this night, the phone call was never made. Her father became extremely worried after trying to call her, so he ended up going to the house when he couldn't get a hold of her. The doors were locked, the lights were on, and the radio was. But he ended up, from my understanding, finding the window to the basement. I think's how he got in, if I remember correctly. And the baby wasn't unharmed. It was asleep in the crib. She was nowhere to be found, though. And the furniture, they said, in the living room was just disarrayed and her books scattered. One of her shoes were found on the living room floor, and the other shoe was found in the basement. But her glasses were found in the living room, and they were broken. Like I said, all the windows were locked besides the one in the basement, in the back of the house. The screen had been taken off and was leaning against the outside wall. And a short stepladder was placed at the window in the basement. And the ladder was supposed to be there, so, excuse me. Three other windows had prowl marks on them. And there were footprints from a pair of sneakers in the basement window box and living room. Not sure if it had been, I'd say basement might be like maybe dust, you know, shoe print the dust. But they said there was other footprints in other yards too. So it kind of definitely seems like they, whoever it was, definitely wanted to get in. So they tried every, you know, couple more windows. There was a significant amount of blood that they would eventually match to Evelyn's. And it was inside the home near the basement window and outside in the yard. There was a bloody handprint about 4 feet off the ground on a garage wall. And there were also stains on the home of one of the neighbor's house. I know they said, like, it was a lot of blood, but, you know, with the significance of it. But I don't think it actually would have been enough for her to be dead, you know, to cause her to die. Dogs were able to track her scent 2 blocks. Then it stopped, which would be, I guess, at the end of a street or something. But they're thinking that she was put in a vehicle from there on. One neighbor reported seeing a light-colored car driving around the neighborhood around 8 p.m. And another local person said they heard screams, 2 or 3 of them, about 7 p.m., but they thought it was just children playing. So I think if I remember correctly, there was like one of them was like stop or something like of that nature. See, a local man by the name of Ed Hoffer, I think I pronounced that right. Like, they said his name was like blocked out in all the newspaper articles for a while, and I guess they finally released his name, which I can kind of understand. You know, he might, you know, get targeted. But he reported about 7:15 that night, He almost hit a two-tone green 41 or 42 Buick, which was speeding westward. He saw two men in it and a girl inside. One man was driving, the other one was in the back seat with the girl, and she was slumped over with, like, her head, I guess, leaning on the back of the seat. He also said he had seen them a few minutes earlier staggering down the street where the blood was, you know, found. And he thought at the time they were just going to the game. Like, he didn't see the blood. It's just, like I said, where the blood was found later on after all that. Several days later, a pair of underpants and a brassiere that could have been Evelyn's were found near underpass. I knew, like, it was the right size, but I guess her mom couldn't confirm, I think, if I remember correctly. Yeah, she couldn't confirm it, that they were actually hers, but it most likely was because, you know, it matched everything. Okay, 2 miles from the town is where those were found. Okay, they were stained with blood. So that kind of makes you wonder a little bit more on it. And I've read that they searched that area before and nothing was found. So were they overlooked or were they put there afterwards? Sorry, you're going to hear my dog walking on the floor. So that's kind of where you got to look at that. Eventually, a pair of blood-stained men's pants were found along the same road, but 4 miles away. I'm assuming 4 miles away from the town, so that'd be about... It's either 4 miles away from where the women's stuff was found, or 4 miles away from the town, so, yeah. Nobody knows if the pants are connected to the case, but I can kind of see it, because they said there was, like I said, the blood on it, and... Somehow along the line, I remember seeing something about it was menstrual blood. And supposedly Evelyn was on her period, so if that's the case, then you do have that. A pair of 11-size shoe, blood-stained, Goodrich tennis shoes were found in a place called Coon Valley area, which was southeast of that town that she disappeared from. It seemed... Sorry, you probably hear my cat in the background. But, like I said, they were found. They seemed they had been dumped there, like, a short time. So, before they were found. The pattern was very similar to the footprints found where Evelyn was last seen at. And the blood on the shoes matched that of Evelyn. A single hair was found in the shoe. It was possibly from an African-American. Investigators later determined that two different people had worn the shoes. The second wearer's feet were too big for them. Then, within 800 feet of the shoes was a well-worn size 36 blue denim jacket with metallic buttons and bloodstains on the front and back and sleeves. The blood matched that of Evelyn's. The investigators felt that it appeared to be too small for a person big enough to wear 11 shoe. And some of the details on the jacket, like it had some base metal paint flecks on it. So I guess like kind of like paint chips. If it had been cut off at the bottom and roughly re-hemmed with white thread and one of the buttons were missing. I think they said there's 4 buttons. And, let's see, trying to think. Yeah, there's a worn mark running the entire width of the jacket of the armpits. Like, they were talking, like, it had been like a harness would have been what caused it. That'd be, yeah, basically anything like, you know, if you're high up and they harness you. So, and there was bast fibers in the left-hand pocket. Not sure what that is. I don't know if that goes with paint, but bast, yeah, I've never heard of it. if you remember, like I said in the other episodes of the Ed Gein, he was believed to have been a suspect because he had been visiting family at that time just a few blocks away. No trace was ever found on his property, which the only trace would have been, you know, the dress that they found. And so that's the dress, so you're looking at that. But he never, you know, said he'd done it. From everything I have read about Ed Gein, he wasn't a very tall man. Like, I think 5'5", 5'6", 5'7", somewhere through there. Maybe 5'4", at the shortest. I'd say 5'6", 5'7". I don't think his shoe size would be size 11. Like, I'm 5'10", and my shoe size is 12. Which it is possible, you know, some short people do have big feet, so it's possible, but yeah. But if I remember correctly from what I read in his confession, that his actual shoe size was 7, 7.5. So I could see that. He did have some tennis shoes, but he said they were his mom's. So he said he did wear them, but he would only wear them, like, I think to, like, work on the roof or something of the house. So, with the cops bringing him up in his confession, it kind of made me wonder, because I doubt his mom wore a size 11 shoe. So, since they were worn by two different people, just say his mom did wear a size 11 shoe. And where he wore 7, 7.5... Since the investigators felt that the shoes were worn by two different people and one with a smaller foot, you know, that would be one thing I guess you could look at. One guy, you know, mentioned seeing two people. So that would be the two that was leading Evelyn down the street. Did he actually get a good look at him? That's why I kind of wondered, like, I know it had been at night, but just say, you know, if there's a street light or something or some light source and he could have got a good look. But you would think if he did, he would be able to pinpoint, hey, you know, he would have seen Ed Gein on, like, the newspaper or something, TV, stuff like that. Like, which I don't know, this was in the 50s, so yeah, it would have been more newspapers. Ed Gein, like I said, always said he acted alone, but it has been rumored that he did have help digging up bodies. So, if that's the case, you know, maybe, but I doubt Ed Gein had anything involved. It just, he preferred older women that looked like his mother, you know, like, that's what we've talked about in 3 episodes. That just don't fit his thing to get a young girl. Me it don't anyways. But one thing, though, too, is maybe this is a crime he didn't want to talk about. Maybe he actually did do this. And where it was a young girl, that's why he didn't want to talk about it. Because, well, you got your serial killers that actually, you know, murder kids and all that. They actually will talk about it. But some of them that's not really fit their normal MO, they won't talk about it, which maybe that's this case. But like I said, I still doubt it. And another one why I'd still doubt it, like, he was visiting his family, and I don't think he might visit them quite a bit, but he would have had to see Evelyn at some point. And knew that she'd be alone at that house babysitting. So he'd have had to have been in the area. So say he did see her, what do you know, he's babysitting. But maybe he could have just tried to break in that house. But he don't really seem to be that type of person either, to break in some random person's house. So like I said, nothing adds up. But it's still, you know, interesting theory to throw out there. I remember reading something about a peeping Tom in the area, and had been in the area for at least a year. So that kind of makes me throw out the whole Ed Gein suspect. because that means he would have been in that area, which it still is possible, but like I said, I just think it was more somebody more local of that area, possibly. So later on, though, they end up like way down the road. They searched an area in the late 80s in Minnesota, a piece of property, because there had been a tip that a car used for the crime was buried there along with her remains, but nothing was ever found. And if you go back to everything else, like some of the suspects, there was a railroad worker from South Dakota who was in the area that night. An African American was held in connection with several attacks similar to Evelyn's, but there was no evidence. The only thing would be, they could possibly trace that hair, since they said they believed African American, but I don't know if they ever tested it later, later on down the road, which that person, has probably passed away by now. See, and they passed away. There was a mechanic, they said he passed a lie detector test. So, now, we're going to travel back past the 80s and go in to 2003. Excuse me. Scratch that one off. I already talked about that. Okay, in 2003, an audio recording made in 1968 surfaced out about two men conversating at a tavern. On the recording, one claims that he and another man abducted and killed Evelyn, and they said they buried her 2 miles south of Lafarge in a wooded area. So, maybe. Sorry, you're going to hear me getting in my stuff. Yeah, it kind of talks about, like, I found an actual audio. Well, it's not an audio recording, but the conversation, what happened. It says, this guy's like, that's about the time you hauled that Hartley girl down there. That right, it's eyes up on that deal, huh? Eyes up on that deal. You was up or down, what? Everything else, location deleted. So they didn't really, they edit all that out. Up, 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 what do you mean up? Why not, why not? Dig up graves and everything else. That kind of makes, maybe this guy was Ed Gein's partner, if, he actually had one, even though he said he didn't. But yeah, that's kind of interesting. But yeah, they didn't mention location there, but it says, the thing is, you hauled her from the cross down to blank and back to the cross. No. You didn't haul her back every time. No. Did you haul her up there, though? No witness, no proof. They haven't found her, have they? I don't give a shh. Deleted about proof. I'm assuming shit about proof. What girl? The Hartley girl. What Hartley girl? Well, this Hartley girl that disappeared on the cross, and he hauled her to, and location deleted, and she disappeared. And this guy's like, you know damn right, he all done it, and I know it, he told me with his own mouth, from the cross. Yeah, that's the girl they never did solve the mystery on. See, I'll tell you another thing that's ridiculous, and they can't understand what he says, won't tell him. Jack Gulthar, he went crazy and shot himself. Yeah, he knows about it too. Name deleted, knows about it, deleted. It scared the death of his kids because he's afraid he's going to kill. They don't know what he's saying. He's unintelligible, and I think deleted, knows about it too. I'll be damned. So that's between Witty Barclay and Clyde Tywee Peterson. So like I said, they said they buried her in a wooded area, but Clyde Peterson, like I said, claimed that he went with the Jack Golf Pair Fair, whatever, and said that Jack's the one that knew of Hartley and where she was babysitting. So this kind of, is he the peeping Tom, or did he just stalk Evelyn? That's kind of weird. But they took her to a friend's house, a farm, and that's where Jake would have killed her at. And I'm assuming she would have been buried in that area. Like I said, they said Jack had committed suicide less than 10 years after the kidnapping. Could he have done it out of guilt? Very possible. Clyde has since long passed away. Yeah, this audio recording, even though it surfaced in 2008, it was actually recorded in 1968. So, but going back to Jack with the babysitter, like, she never babysitted for that family before. She might, if she did, she might have done it like here and there. But it wasn't, like I said, she wasn't a regular babysitter for him. So how would he have known? Like, that's my biggest question. How would he have known that she would have been there? So that kind of seems like he would have been stalking her as an individual. Or maybe just happened to drive by and see her going in the house. I don't know. I think one thing that kind of would make sense, and I think that's how a lot of some of the investigators felt. It could be a break-in and entering that turned out bad, since she happened to be there. Because if you think about it, if somebody local knew that there was a game going on, nobody was home, of course, you know, go break into a house. Very, you know, very possibility. So, you know, they broke in. They wasn't expecting nobody. She was there. Then since they saw her, you know, after breaking in, you know, maybe they just had to kill her. They didn't have to, you know, but you know how people are sometimes. Maybe, too, there's some belief that they saw her in the house before they broke in. And she was the reason they did break in. Because nothing from anything I've read said that anything was taken in that house. So it kind of does seem like maybe they were after her. Which is very possible. And there is a rumor that I found out that she might have been buried under Highway 33, which was paved a few days later after her disappearance. So that kind of makes you wonder maybe if the dude worked with doing all that and he knew when it was going to get paved. So he's like, hey, let's bury her here. I'm going to be paving this road, you know, a couple days later. She'll never be found. Very possibility. Very, very big possibility. But I'm just throwing that out there. But the question, you know, whatever happened to Evelyn? You know, nobody knows. But apparently, you know, two guys seemed like they wanted her. Or at least one guy did, and somebody helped him. But her case had never been solved. She's still considered missing, which, see, what would that put her now? Born 37, that'd put her 80 years old. You know, I doubt she's still alive out there. It's very possibility she could be. But I'm sure she would have surfaced somewhere along the line by now. And, like, so there's so many rumors that she was murdered and, you know, that Clyde guy talking about confessing to the Jack dude doing it. So, it's kind of the way I personally take it. She was murdered that night or maybe the next day. And she's buried somewhere and nobody's been able to locate her. Which is very sad, you know. She's only 15. You know, now, like I said, she'd be 80 years old. She could still be alive today. You know, if that hadn't happened to her. And, you know, she'd be having probably great-great-grandkids by now and enjoying life. But, you know, sadly, somebody had to be stupid, you know, back in October 24th, 1953. Which, tragic, but what are you thinking, though, 2 into 50, which everything like it is now is back like it was back then, just more media attention on it. But leave your comments on stuff, and I'd like to hear what you think would happen to her. Like I said, I think she just happened possibly be in the wrong place at the wrong time, or just had some weird, creepy dude stalking her. So, what do you think happened to her? Do you think she could still be alive? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I guess I'll wrap up this episode. Thank you for tuning in. And I'm really looking forward to doing the Dexter-inspired series. Like I said, it's basically going to be what I'm hoping to do, an individual that, you know, they claim that, or it was said, was inspired by Dexter TV show. I love it. You know, when it was on, it's no longer on anymore. And like I said, I got that coming up. And then I got a local West Virginia case that I heard about years ago, and I started researching it again. And I'll be out, you know, probably next month, maybe this month, depending on how everything goes. But I do have good news, which I'll probably post on, I'll have it on Facebook before then, which should be already submitted. I will be hopefully available on iTunes by the time this episode releases. The submission went in tonight, finally. I've been having so much trouble trying to get the image. And I changed it, but some reason my upload to feed, it still had the old picture on it, and it worked. So I'm not going to complain, and hopefully it worked, and it's submitted. So you guys will be able to listen to me on iTunes, even though who really wants to listen to me on iTunes? But like I said, thank you guys for tuning in. Like I said, if you want to follow me on Facebook, Killer's Crawl Space. Also have a blog. I don't post much on the blog, that's why I kind of, like I said, like doing a podcast better. It's easier to, you know, sit down and talk instead of writing something out and all that. But you can follow me on there. If you'd like to be a part of the group, it's now set as private, secret group, so you'll have to message the page and I can invite you in. There's a patron site if you'd like to help support the podcast and help, like I said, further make it better. You can find that on the Facebook page. If not, just message me. Excuse me. And I guess we'll see you in the next episode. But everyone take care.